This is Jay Sekulow. The president delivers a major speech to the Arab world and visits the Western Wall in Jerusalem. First president to do it.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
With God's help, this summit will mark the beginning of the end for those who practice terror and spread its vile creed. At the same time, we pray this special gathering may someday be remembered as the beginning of peace in the Middle East, and maybe even all over the world. But this future can only be achieved through defeating terrorism and the ideology that drives it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We have before us a rare opportunity to bring security and stability and peace to this region and to its people, defeating terrorism and creating a future of harmony, prosperity, and peace.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, history being made as the President of the United States approaches the Western Wall in Jerusalem. I say history because no sitting president has ever done this. So this was quite a statement about Israel, about Jerusalem, about our support of Israel, but also a very significant statement regarding the place, Jerusalem itself, which, of course, has been subject to so much discussion over the last several months, that involving, of course, the transferring or the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, which is Israel's capital, but yet the United States and other governments keep their embassies in Tel Aviv. So this was a big statement by the president. It comes off a very big trip to starting a trip with in Saudi Arabia in Riyadh, where I think one of the strongest and most pronounced speeches involving radical Islamic terrorism ever took place. Marked different from what took place when President Obama began his world tour. We want to get your reactions to this at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I heard one commentator give a negative comment and said this will undercut for the Iranians the agreement we signed with them, as if anybody other than the Iranians care. Because let me tell you, the 50 world leaders from the Arab world in that room in Riyadh, they were thrilled to hear that. Jordan, your reaction?
Yeah, that's right. This is a coalition that's very nervous about a nuclear Iran. And though sometimes these countries are not perfect, and I think President Trump acknowledged that about their cultures and their societies, they are not, again, they don't share all the values by any means that we do in the United States. They do share in a common enemy, and that is the Islamic Republic of Iran and their nuclear program. And so the putting together of this coalition of Arab Sunni countries to take on both the threats from radical Islamic terrorism like ISIS, like Hezbollah, which was mentioned directly by the president,
and Hamas,
and of course the Islamic State, some of those groups are Sunni. I mean, it's not like they were in there just talking about, some spin has been of just talking about Iranian-backed groups like Hezbollah or the Islamic Republic Revolutionary Guard. But Hamas and the Islamic State would be aligned with the Sunni Islamic faith. And so that would be the majority faith of, course, those countries that were represented in Riyadh. And for, I think, a president that, again, many people expected, I don't think he expected to speak
like this,
or be respected like that by the Islamic world. You see how tough talk on Islam gets you further than acting like President Obama did. The soft talk, they don't respect softness. They respect strong leaders who call them out for their wrongdoing.
Let me play for you what I think was one of the strongest lines that the president delivered in Riyadh. Remember, this is a room full of 50 leaders of the Arab world. Here's what he said.
A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremists. Drive them out. Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your communities. Drive them out of your holy land. And drive them out of this earth.
I give the president an A-plus for that. I mean, let's look what he said very quickly here. Drive them out of your places of worship. That's the mosque. Drive them out of your communities. That's the places they hide. Drive them out of your holy land. That's Mecca and Medina. Drive them out of this earth. End them. Strong words from the president of the United States. All right, Logan, we'll take calls when we come back.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today. Give us a call right now. We'll also see you on Facebook and Periscope.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. President went to Riyadh, gave a very strong speech. He's in Israel, went to the Western Wall. We were just saying during the break, this is symbolically very significant. Because remember, many within the Muslim world do not consider the Western Wall area to be really to be part of Israel. And the president simply going there makes a big statement. We're taking your phone calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Very strong speech from the president. Talked about rooting terrorists out of your worship centers. That's the mosque, your communities, where they hide, out of the Holy Land itself. Drive them out of this earth. Then he talked about confronting Islamic terrorism and extremism. Listen to what he said, number 22.
There is still much work to be done. That means honestly confronting the crisis of Islamic extremism and the Islamicists and Islamic terror of all kinds. We must stop what they're doing to inspire, because they do nothing to inspire but kill. And it means standing together against the murder of innocent Muslims, the oppression of women, the persecution of Jews, and the slaughter of Christians.
I mean, let me, that last line is very important. He's in understand, this is not a campaign speech. He is in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. He makes the statement, you've got to stop the murder of innocent Muslims, because they are also being killed in the largest portion, actually. Yep. The oppression of women, the persecution of Jews, and the slaughter of Christians. And by the way, putting the slaughter of Christians in there, this is again significant. President Obama was always hesitant about saying any of that.
Yeah, well, he never really mentioned religion in his speeches. Now, never mentioned the word terrorism when he did those speeches overseas in the Middle East. And so to call on Saudi Arabia, which only active church in the entire country is a church for foreign workers that no Saudis are allowed to attend, to call on Saudi Arabia to respect and to prevent the slaughtering of Christians, to the persecution of Jews. I mean, again, it shows this message. Did you see anybody walking out? Did you see any boos?
No, nothing.
Did you see anyone upset? No, they went right from that to an event opening up a center to combat terrorism. So understand this. These world leaders, wherever they may come from, respect a whole lot more a leader who will call out the problems like they are. Sometimes that helps them deal with their own domestic issues of radicalism, which many of the leaders in that room deal with on a daily basis. That is why You wonder, why would the Saudis, why would those other countries be so aligned with the U.S.? Because they have got a plenty of their own terrorists.
Right there.
They're Islamic, that want to overthrow them and cut their heads off. So they need the U.S. protection.
Yep.
But if you talk in those simple Obama-style terms of happiness and peace, what did you get? An uprising throughout the Arab world that has led to nothing good.
No.
That has led to the rise of the Islamic State.
It's been an absolute nightmare. All right, let's go ahead.
Failed states in Libya, Yemen. I mean, the list goes on. Syria, the list goes on. Iraq is still a problem. That all happened after President Obama did his peace tour and an apology tour in the Middle East, because apologies get you nowhere in that part of the world.
Because they understand strength and power. That's what you're dealing with. All right, Logan, let's get some either comments coming in on Facebook or Periscope or a phone call.
Let's go to Nancy, who's calling in New Haven, Connecticut, online too.
Nancy, hi, Nancy, welcome. Go ahead.
You there, Nancy?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. I just have to say that I am so proud of our president. And it's sad that he had to go to a foreign country to finally get the respect that he deserves. And it really makes me feel like proud and that America is maybe coming back. That's really basically
it was a very strong statement. I mean, his statements, they were as strong as they could be. And again, this wasn't a campaign statement. Listen to this one. When he takes on the religious leadership of these communities, number 23.
Religious leaders must make this absolutely clear. Barbarism will deliver you no glory, and political leaders must speak out to affirm the same idea. Heroes don't kill innocents. They save them.
So let me break that down for you, because you got to understand what's being said here. This is to the religious leading communities of these 50 countries that were represented. Religious leaders must make this clear. Barbarism will deliver you no glory. Understand that's counteracting their message of you kill innocents in the name of Allah and you get to go to heaven. That's number one. Political leaders must speak out to affirm the same idea that barbarism does not get you glory and will be rooted out. Heroes don't kill innocent people. They save them. So that's a very strong message. It'd be very interesting if there's anybody opposed, or is there any real criticism, Logan, when you look at the media? Are you seeing any serious criticism in this speech?
You know, not really. I'd say some of it is, you know, this got good coverage live. I'd say that it depends on what network you're watching, whether it's getting the proper coverage. Some have gone after nuances.
Islamists versus Islamists.
Yeah. Specific words, okay, and whether really? He's double talking.
I'm not even going to spend time on that. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the difference of three letters at the end of the day, and whether he meant to say it that way or whether that was just a flub.
Right.
It happens, especially when you're traveling and you deal with these situations. There's always going to be something. But no, not really. I don't see a ton of backlash from it in general.
Mostly positive.
Yeah, I mean, some I'd say from the far, far right maybe don't like the fact that he was even having these meetings in general. But that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, dealing with the mainstream media. Then no.
No, I think that's right. What was your sense, Jordan?
Yeah, I think that if this trip continues on this path, and I can only expect that the time in Israel is going to be positive. Next, though, comes some European stops. I think the time at the Vatican will be, you know, positive and pretty kind of
photo op.
Yeah, not
he's meeting with Mahmoud Abbas in the Palestinian territories.
Yeah, that'll be significant. I think all of this is making, especially after getting battered a bit before this trip with the news and leaks every single day, another story, that this helps reassure everyone that we have a president who is doing the job of president of the United States around the world. I think it was good timing, even though this trip was pre-planned way out in advance. This was a time where President Trump actually needed to get overseas to be with these foreign leaders, to talk about U.S. policy broadly. He's going to be with the NATO meeting.
He's putting a lot of the burden on them, too, though. This is not just a situation where he is taking this on, saying, you know, in fact, he has that line, I don't know if we have it, where, you know, don't wait for the United States. But let me play this one, number 16, where he says, we've got to work together. But there's a line where he says, don't just wait for the United States. I'll get that in a moment. Play 16 first.
We can only overcome this evil if the forces of good are united and strong, and if everyone in this room does their fair share and fulfills their part of the burden. Terrorism has spread all across the world, but the path to peace begins right here on this ancient soil in this sacred land.
So also, I'm going to play some of the statements he makes directly about Iran. We'll get those. Let's grab another call here before the break.
All right, let's see who's been holding for a while. Let's go to Scott, who's calling in Pueblo, Colorado. Thanks for holding.
Okay,
hey, Scott.
Guys. Hey, great.
Yep.
Thanks for my call.
Yep.
Thanks for your great work. I have a comment and a quick question. I found the timing of President Trump's speech absolutely stellar. For an area of the world where might is right, like you guys said,
yep.
He's already demonstrated he means business. He dropped Moab in Afghanistan, and he has their respect. My question is this. With the new Iran deal that he just made, is there any likelihood that these arms would find themselves in the wrong hands like they did under Obama?
Not likely, because these regimes that are getting it are very stable. So this is not a situation like Iraq or even Afghanistan where you can end up with people that should not have them. So it's likely these are strong militaries. They're in a military alliance with Israel. You know, they're not going to come out in public and hug each other, the Israelis and the Saudis, and make some kind of statement. But they are working very closely together. The president knows that. So I'm not concerned about that.
No, not it's, when you're talking about the Gulf states, these are wealthy, well-funded militaries, very loyal to their leadership, and are generally great partners with the United States. It's why if you speak to people who are in the U.S. military, they have very good working relationships. I remember the first time I was in the Gulf, it was in Doha, and it was surprising because it was the first of two trips I made to Qatar. But see all the U.S. Marines in their uniforms going through the airport there. No one was upset by this. And that was just a normal part of occurrence because we've got bases there. So
right.
We have very good working relationships with this part of the world. And as President Trump said, it's one where we hope that there are reforms. He talked about the oppression of women. But we're careful to push as far as we can there without forgetting that the real importance of these countries is the security that they can and the military force and the alliances that we can form against terrorism, but also against bad leaders. So we're not just talking about rogue terror groups. We're also talking about major countries like Iran with populations of nearly 80 million people. Taking that on, you need the entire Gulf behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely right. And George, Logan, let's not wait up time for a call. Any comment you want to get to, or do you want to?
Bridget said it's beautiful to see a president that isn't ashamed of Israel for a change.
Oh, I mean, listen, that's a great statement. Not ashamed. This is, I mean, the Israelis are gloating in excitement that Donald Trump is there. The president's there. Why? Because this president went to the Wailing Wall, as it used to be called, the Western Wall. What a statement! Symbolism there. You can't imagine how significant that is. All right, we're going to come back. We've got a lot more to cover. Yep. We've got a lot to cover, too. We're trying to unpack this for you. And we'll take more calls and comments when we come back from the break. Logan, let everybody know how they can get the comments. And we do have a couple phone lines open. So we'll
grab please
those.
Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Two lines are open because we just took those calls. So again, two lines open. So if it was busy earlier, give it a try again. 1-800-684-3110.
By the way, domestically, we're doing some work right now on a lawsuit challenging the repeal of the Johnson Amendment that allows churches to speak out on politics. We'll talk about that, too.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
The true troll of ISIS, if you look at what's happening, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, and so many others, must be counted not only in the number of dead, it also must be counted in generations of vanished dreams.
Very strong words, and including Hamas, who's trying to moderate itself, so-called. I said something very strong as well. Because some of those governments that are there have had to deal with Hamas, and the Egyptians in particular, and that's been difficult. Egypt is trying to root out Hamas, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, but that has been a challenge. Again, the president laying it out very clearly. All right, we're going to go right back to phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Yep, let's go ahead. Let's go to Jay, who's calling in Montclair, New Jersey. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Okay, 2 points I want to make. I'm a minister, but you guys are right on the money. Just two things. I'll take my answer on the air. It's like a bunch of people in a hotel, and they all got roaches in their room. And they say, you got to get rid of the roaches in your room, but we'll give you a little insecticide. But we can't stay in the room with you. That's like getting rid of, as Trump pointed, in your own country, get rid of these people first, then we're united. The second point I want to make is years ago, Carl Sagan, who I wasn't a fan of, mentioned the Cold War between Russia and the United States both having bombs. And he said, it's like two guys sitting in a room full of gasoline, and they both got matches. And they keep talking about the matches instead of how to get rid of the gasoline.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I mean, this is, I don't know how to respond to your roaches comment. I will say this, that I don't like calling people roaches, but these terrorists are I don't think it's fair to roaches, defining the terrorists that way. The president's been very clear on this, and he talks about it being not something where the Middle East can wait just for the United States to do it. Listen to this bite number 44.
Nations of the Middle East will have to decide what kind of future they want for themselves, for their country, and frankly, for their families and for their children. It's a choice between two futures, and it is a choice America cannot make for you.
That was I think he's got it exactly. This is very easy to defend. Some things are hard to defend. Some things are not hard to defend. This is an easy defense. I'm in court. I always look at, is this a hard issue to defend? This is not. That was exactly the right statement.
Yeah, it cannot be the U.S. crushing every single part of the Islamic terrorism movement. Now, there's certain the ones that have gotten out of control where it certainly takes U.S. involvement. I think ISIS would be an example of that. Iran, Hezbollah, those size groups.
Yeah.
But if the Saudis, if the Gulf, stop their funding to Hamas,
yep.
Stop their funding to some of these groups, Sunni groups that are more radical,
yep.
Because remember, even inside like the Saudi royal family, there are family members who are donating money to the Al-Qaeda offshoots. They've got to, if they can route out the funding and get tough on the radicals within their own country, yes, you could see a significant change in the war on radical Islam and the war on terrorism.
All right, do we want to take a comment or a call, Logan? Your call?
Let's take one more call right now. Right. Let's go to Mike in Missouri online, too.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Jay. Great. It sounds great what you're doing.
Thank you.
Let me turn this all the way off. My question is, you know, I think he's doing great things. I think you're doing great things. How will this Russian thing, so he can get that behind him so he can actually do what he wants to do?
Well, I think here's what's happened with Russia. I think you've got a special counsel now. So all these, you know, hearings going on before the House and Senate, and James Comey's going to testify before Senate Intel, I guess, in the next couple of weeks, publicly, which means he will say, Jordan, nothing. That's why he's doing that. But it's now controlled by a special counsel. You know, I raised the question today. And again, this is going to be very controversial, but I want to raise the question. Because I'm a lawyer, I have to think of the law. Someone asked me this. If there was, quote, collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign, if there was, hypothetically, and it wasn't, you know, wiretapping, and it wasn't internet stuff, it was just collusion on activities and the discussions that were taking place and sanctions, is that a crime? Is there a law that has, it may be not politically correct, it may be unseemly, but is it a crime? I think this is the president gets a chance to do a reset here. Special counsel has to do his job. I think one of the things the special counsel is going to do, these leakers are going to be found out and prosecuted. That's what I think is going to happen there. But let me say this. The president was also very clear about Iran. I want to get to this bite. I want us to be able to talk about it. Number 26.
No discussion of stamping out this threat would be complete without mentioning the government that gives terrorists all three: safe harbor, financial backing, and the social standing needed for recruitment. It is a regime that is responsible for so much instability in that region. I am speaking, of course, of Iran.
And of course, the countries that were represented in that room, Jordan, are not fans of Iran. In fact, thought the United States betrayed them when he did that, when we did this.
Because we have military alliances with these countries in the Gulf and the Arab world. We do not have one. Iran is an enemy. They still are chanting death to America in the streets. They call for the destruction and wiping out of Israel. You don't hear that kind of language out of Saudi leaders. You might not hear nice things about Israel. You're not going to necessarily hear wipe them off the face of the map. You hear that out of Iran. And when the Obama administration went and kowtowed, because that's what they did, and begged for Iran to come up with a deal so that they could say, oh, look, we made a deal with Iran. You know who they left in their wake? Saudi Arabia, who doesn't have a nuclear program.
Right.
Which could definitely afford one, by the way.
Yeah.
And so one thing we have to watch out for as a country is if you really want to go this route and you want the entire Sunni world to also be armed with nuclear weapons, you would have a new arms race that would be similar to the Cold War, except for countries that are more cash rich than the Soviet Union or North Korea. And I don't think they even want to go there, but that's how they felt under the Obama years. Now they know they've got an ally again, and we would certainly need them, one, to continue to undermine the Iranian regime and their nuclear program because of, you know, whether it's through spy activity, whether it's through infrastructure and the hacking that we do there. You've got to have partners in the region who understand the threat because it's on their border. To us, it can feel far away. To them, it's right there across the Persian Gulf or the Arab Gulf, depending on what part of that world you're in and who you're talking to.
All right, let's go ahead. Do we have time for a call, Logan, or do you want to take a comment?
Let's go ahead and take a call. Okay. Let's go to some people that hold a while. Let's go to Sharon in Saratoga, New York. You're on the air.
Hey, Sharon, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call. I saw something a little different in the president's itinerary that I haven't heard mentioned by anyone else. I find President Trump's choice to visit Saudi Arabia and speak to the Islamic leaders first before visiting Israel especially brilliant because it prevents the Palestinians from protesting during his visit because they will not be supported by the greater Islamic community.
I think you bring up Sharon, a great point. I think this was well planned, well structured, going to Saudi Arabia, looking at that new center that opened up, which was very significant to fight terrorism, and going to Saudi Arabia to make the first of the series of speeches, I think speaks very well. But you know, I want to play this bite really quickly, number 28, because Jordan, this underscored what Jordan just said. They're still chanting death to Iran is the enemy. We said that in our book on Holy Alliance. We meant it. The president understands it. Listen to 28.
It is a government that speaks openly of mass murder, vowing the destruction of Israel, death to America, and ruin for many leaders and nations in this very room.
Destruction of the leaders in that very room. Jordan, that was what you were underscoring. Then we got to get close to a word.
Right, that Iran sees the U.S. as the great Satan, Israel as like number two, and then these Gulf leaders would be right there on the list of countries to destroy. And they already try to destabilize these governments. Remember what happened in Yemen? Yep. It's ongoing
they
right
tried
now.
It in Jordan.
Those are rebel groups backed by Iran, Houthi rebels backed by the Iranian groups similar to Hezbollah in Lebanon also.
All right, we are going to be here for another 30 minutes.
That's right. If you don't get us, find us broadcasting live right now on Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope search for Jay Sekulow or ACLJ.org. Be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So the president goes to Saudi Arabia first. Good call. Meets with, in the room, 50 leaders of the Arab world. Jordan, that sends a huge signal right in the beginning. That's before he gets to Israel. We'll talk about that in a moment. But his first stop, Riyadh, very strong statement.
Yes, and it sends a signal to Iran specifically. Now, we may see this, and I think sometimes people just see this region of the world as one unitary kind of bad part of the world with bad human rights and Islamic extremists and these kind of dictatorships and kings. But there are differences. We have alliances, and we have enemies. And I'm not just talking about Israel. We have alliances with the Saudis, with the Emiratis, with the Qataris. We do have military alliances, not with every country that was represented there, by the way, but also with the Egyptians. And so when you work on this, you were really sending a signal to, one, some of the Islamic terror groups that share the Sunni Islamic faith in a extreme way, like ISIS,
yep,
like Hamas, but also to Iran especially. That was this alliance that President Trump is putting together in the Gulf and the Arab world is an alliance to take on Iran.
Then he goes to the next day, after spending the night in Riyadh, to Israel and goes to the Western Wall in Jerusalem. Now, that doesn't sound very controversial to any of us, but let me tell you this. He's the first sitting president that's ever done that. The signal is, this is Jewish territory. This is Israeli property. And the fact of the matter is, as R. Wes Smith points out in a very interesting piece, the wall itself predates the Islamic world by 1,026 years. So pretty significant right there, in my humble opinion, that he did that. And I thought it was 1,126 years to be exact. So the wall does belong to Israel. If you're looking at just from a property law standpoint, we've got a book coming out on that next year dealing with that. But I will tell you that it is historically significant that that's going on. All right, Logan, let's take a call or a comment.
Yeah, let's go to Portia, who's calling in Illinois.
Hi, Portia, you're on the air.
Hi, I was letting you know that I think that President Trump's appearance in Riyadh is a great presence, and that's felt nationwide. And I think he is his speeches and what he's saying is very straightforward and humbling and to the point, whereas I hope that his actions over there will reflect back at home, where people will stop bashing him at home and allow him to do the work that he is committed to do. He's being humble at this point, but he's being very forward and direct.
Yeah, let me say this. Let me talk about direct. I love this statement that he made when he touched down in Israel. Here he is, 39.
I have come to the sacred and ancient land to reaffirm the unbreakable bond between the United States and the state of Israel.
I mean, I don't. How much stronger can you get? You talk about resetting the relationship, Jordan. There's a big one.
Yes,
I mean, it's huge. And that was actually in Donald Trump language, huge.
I mean,
very big
statement. Right off the trip to Saudi Arabia, whereas President Obama would try to play one side and be too afraid of them. He didn't go to Israel the first time, right?
Right.
When he made his trip to do that apology tour, he skipped over Israel. Instead, what President Trump showed is that if you were a strong United States leader, you could go right from Riyadh to Jerusalem and speak truth to power and have alliances. He didn't upset anybody in Saudi Arabia. Everybody was happy there, and those leaders were happy. And then you go to Jerusalem and talk about your unbreakable bond with the U.S., and your policies are not hypocritical. They are not conflicting. They are actually in alliance. But that only makes sense to people who really understand that part of the world. Which, and most of these commentators on television
don't.
They think you either have to be aligned with the Saudis or aligned with the Israelis.
You can't
they don't understand there's a gray area there where you can work with both.
Well, the Saudis and the Israelis are working together. They're just not, as a friend of ours said, hugging in public. And that's understandable. And Logan, you think it's been received pretty well.
Decently, yeah, I'd say.
Even from the left.
Yeah.
How can you really
attack it? They won't even really talk about it.
They like, can't stand to just talk about it as happening.
They'll come up with something.
Yeah. They're looking.
Yeah. But I give it an A+ so far. All right, we're taking your calls. We come back from break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you just had a good question. What was that
for? Yeah, a question came in from Parvin on Facebook. Said, the president gets more respect overseas than here in America. Do you agree?
Jordan?
I think that certainly right now, with America basically divided 50-50 on if you respect the president or not, that's just the bottom line truth. Half the country is wanting to undermine this president. The other half of the country is defending this president. When you go to where he was in the Middle East, I think he's, again, it's the strength of America. They know the potential strength of any American president. And so he is putting that on display. Now, what will be interesting is later in the trip. So after this part of the trip, he spent another day in Israel and also be going to the West Bank to meet with Mahmoud Abbas. And he's going to go to Bethlehem as well. Then later in the week, he goes to Rome to meet with the Italian president, also with the Pope. I don't think that will get, again, that's more photo ops. It doesn't get as much attention. It's not nearly as a hot button area of the world. But then he heads to Brussels. That's the NATO meeting. And then Sicily, which is the G7 meeting.
Right.
So he's going to be going from the
when
countries
does he meet
that
with
are more about.
Would that be the G7?
The NATO.
NATO meeting.
Brussels. Yeah.
Yeah, NATO
Turkey
Brussels.
Is one of the 28
yep.
countries. But I think where the interesting part will be is when he gets to Europe.
Yeah.
The 28 European countries who, for the most part, have a lot more negativity.
Yeah, but
you
know what?
But you know what? They respect the power of the president.
They do respect the power of the president. The fact of the matter is, I'm not being nasty about this, but right now, who do I want to be able to work with? I want to be able to work with who? I want to be able to work with the Middle East countries and solve that problem. The Europeans, we're the United States of America. They get it. They're going to have to get it, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, because they got their own problems.
Big ones.
Of the terror threat they've had to crack down.
Yeah, what are they going to say? Right. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Let's go to Christine, who's calling in Torrance, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Christine, go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really proud of the president for saying what he said in Saudi Arabia. My question is since there are people in the Arab nation that think that Israel is a terrorist extremist and Israelis are terrorist extremists, could this in any way be perverted and distorted and used against Israel?
No, I'll tell you what this was. I can't disclose the source, but a friend of ours who knows made a really good observation that what's happening between, for instance, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Israel, and Jordan privately, and I know this from my work in Israel and on this issue, is their alliances have never been stronger. The Russians, interestingly, also have a good relationship with Israel. But the Saudis, The Egyptians, the Jordanians are working very closely with the Israelis. Now, they cannot, quoting this friend of ours, hug in public. And nor is the president making them hug in public. So I think all of that is very good. And I think you best see it when you see from people like al-Sisi, the president of Egypt. Listen to 42.
The president, me express our appreciation and respect, and let me say that you have a unique personality that is capable of doing the impossible. I agree.
The president is playing. I mean, al-Sisi, you understand what he said? Mr. President, let me express our appreciation and respect. Let me say that you have a unique personality that is capable of doing the impossible. That impossible, I believe, could well lead to a peace treaty between the Palestinians and the Israelis. If there was ever a chance it could happen, believe it or not, the art of the deal is probably the guy that can do it.
Yeah, I mean, it may be even more effective, as some of the callers I think have already caught on to, his ability as president may be more effective internationally because of his personality, as the Egyptian president said, your unique personality. You know what he's saying there is, unlike past U.S. presidents, you can stand up to any of the strong men, including him, al-Sisi, who's a military leader. You can stand shoulder to shoulder with us and go toe to toe. We respect that. That's what we like to see. We want a negotiation to be tough. We want someone who can fight back with us. We want someone we can speak honestly and openly, straightforward with, who is going to also be an honest broker in these deals. So I think while politically in the United States, President Trump is going to have a tougher time because he's working with a very partisan Congress right now, that overseas he may be able to make his mark as president.
Agree.
And I think this is just the first indications of that. And I think
coming back with this would be a big deal.
I would hope that
the starting of the Palestinian peace process would be huge.
I think that this administration just needs to continue that focus overseas.
All right. So what you want to go to? We can grab another call.
Greg has a comment that's a little bit more on the opposed side. Disappointed. Sure. So Greg in Washington, you're on the air.
Greg, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for taking my call and then tell you that I've been a member since about 2008, and I pray for you guys all the time.
Thank you very much, Greg.
And a little out of breath here. I was doing something else.
All right.
Anyway, you know, I was really excited and looking forward to this trip and being, you know, Jerusalem Day coming up and all of that, you know, the celebration, the anniversary. So I'm disappointed.
What are you disappointed in, Greg?
That the president succumbed to, you know, those people that told him don't, you know, move the embassy and don't let Bibi or the president go to the wall with you. So what's up? What's up with that?
Well, I think, first of all, here's much more significant. I think the fact that the president of the United States went to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, without Netanyahu was also significant. That said, we are the United States of America. I am the president of the United States. I am wearing a yarmulke and approaching the Western Wall where I'm going to offer a prayer. Now, whose land is that? That's number one. Number two, the move to Jerusalem, which obviously I support. And Greg, we appreciate your support of us. But this is very complicated. It's hard. You've got to understand and think nine-dimensionally that for that move to take place, there are certain prerequisites that have to happen. If you can get a situation where there's a peace conference, and we don't want to destabilize the Jordanians right now, but you get peace discussions going, I believe this president's committed to a move, but I will tell you who's probably telling him to hold off right now?
Yeah.
Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, it's the Israelis who are probably not ready for that move, honestly, Greg.
Because of the
security concern that can have, and because they would rather get to the negotiating table than move a building, which, yes, it's significant and would send a major symbol. I think here's how you'd see this play out. One, if the Palestinians, after all of this, are unwilling to negotiate, then I think, you see the move.
Right.
I think you say that, okay, you know what? You guys are impossible. You're going to keep dragging your people down. So be it. We're putting our embassy right in Jerusalem. So that's one option. But option two is get to the peace talks, which are better for Israelis anyways than the move into embassy. Ultimately, you're going to move the embassy, but you're not going to ruin the chance at peace talks yet. Now, if the Palestinians are unwilling to talk, they are unwilling to come to the table and negotiate, then I think you could see a quick move. But we're right. This is not just up to the U.S. is being somewhat, I think, deferential to Israeli interests because they are such an ally. It'd be like if Israel was going to do something to the U.S. and they wanted to make sure it wasn't going to destabilize our country. It's hard for Americans to think that way because we're so powerful.
Yep.
But these countries realize again, we're so powerful that we can destabilize their own country
right.
by moving our building.
Yeah.
And so while we yeah, all support this idea of moving the embassy to Jerusalem, it is not just, okay, we move it. And that's just not how it works.
No, it's much more complicated.
No, anything works in the Middle
East. Do we have a time for a call here, Logan? We have 2 minutes, 43 seconds.
Oh, think? Yeah, why not?
Yep.
All right, let's go to Jenny in California.
Hey,
line
Jenny.
Three.
Hello, Jenny. Gentlemen.
Yep.
Hey, I love what Trump is doing. I'm wondering, what do you think his next move is? I'm sure he's got it planned out. And
yep.
what ultimately is his goal?
Well, the goal is to get, obviously, to get ISIS eliminated and to get the Arab Muslim countries that are allies to really get in this fight, which they now are. That's number one. And the establishment of this center on terrorism and make it clear. I think the second goal, not less important, is meeting with both Netanyahu and then Mahmoud Abbas and to get restarted the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. And I think he's going to drive a very hard bargain. I think what Jordan just said is absolutely very much right on the point, spot on. And that is, if Mahmoud Abbas says, I'm not sitting down and having direct discussions with the Israelis, well, then the president will say, oh, that's great. And then there's not a two-state solution. There's a unitary state solution, and I'm moving the capital to Jerusalem. It's a bargaining chip, but an important one. But I think the president's goal right now is to get that process started. And frankly, I don't think the Palestinians will have a choice, period. I don't think they will have a choice
here.
Yeah,
because the money could stop flowing.
Immediately. I mean, and the Israelis have already made a move to allow more money to go to the Palestinians. They did that on Friday, number one. Number two, they're going to allow some construction, what's called Area C, by the Palestinian Authority. That's a big move. That's called a confidence-building measure, CBM. That's what he's talking about. And again, listen to what President Trump said, number 16.
We can only overcome this evil if the forces of good are united and strong. And if everyone in this room does their fair share and fulfills their part of the burden. Terrorism has spread all across the world. But the path to peace begins right here on this ancient soil in this sacred land.
That is exactly what the president's agenda is. And that's the terrorism aspect of this. All right, coming up last time, we'll have two of our policy analysts in. We'll be back with more in a moment. Logan will let you know how you can get your calls and comments in. We encourage you to do it and share it with your friends on Facebook.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110. Got one line open. You can also, like you said, share on Facebook or join us on Facebook. We can comment and get your comments in that way. Facebook.com/JSEC. He'll be back soon. We'll have more coverage going on during the breaks. If you don't watch online, the show doesn't end. We take a full hour of broadcasting. No commercials online against ACLJ.org, Facebook, and Periscope. Right back with more on JSEC Live.
I need to make.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to JSEC Hill Live. We're going to take some calls coming up here. All the lines are jammed right now. And if you have a question or comment, the best way to do right now is to comment on our social media or join us via the phones as they open up during this segment, the last segment of the show. Let's go to Joseph, who's calling. He's on hold the longest in Indiana. Joseph, on line five, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I love what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I don't have a question. I have a comment. First of all, I appreciate and love what Trump is doing, both here and domestically and worldwide. I think his perception, like Jordan said, is probably more positive elsewhere than here in the States.
Yeah.
And I think it was very significant that he did not bow to the Saudi leader.
Well, he would. He not only didn't bow. Let me get Wes, who served in the region militarily. Wes, give me your quick reaction, then I'll get Harry's too. The way the whole perception went in Riyadh.
Right. It was very, very appropriate. It was one state leader meeting another state leader, even though he was the monarch. There was a handshake. I think there was mutual respect. The fact that President Trump's wife and daughter did not veil themselves.
Yep.
It was a mutual respect of each one's culture.
Yep. That's what's significant.
And you don't need to bow before a foreign monarch.
Yep. Harry?
Well, I would suggest that the days of fecklessness and spinelessness on the part of the Obama administration are over.
Yeah.
Instead, Trump offered a show of strength, and I think that is well respected in the Middle East.
Do you think, Jordan, that the symbolism of the way that went down, even the lack of veiling and all that, was symbolically significant?
Yes, because the Obama administration was always so concerned with these optics of trying to, I'd say, bow down to the wishes of this part of the world. Taking your Orthodox Jewish daughter and son-in-law into Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, having her speak on your behalf in an event that you could not make, not veiled.
Right.
And again, not done so in a way to try and upset people, but done so in a way to say, I'm the president of the United States. Women in our country, they could choose to veil. They don't have to. So when I am visiting as president and my family is visiting as that first family, they are going to dress respectfully, but they're not going to take on every part of your culture and custom.
Yep.
Vice versa. I think he showed a lot of respect. Again, it seems like everything went much better there than the media had hoped. I think that the
media was hoping for a disaster.
A disaster. Yeah. That's not how these parts of the world operate.
And I lived there, Jay, and they do not expect us to adopt all of their customs.
Right.
They really don't.
Yeah. No, I mean, they don't. I think that from President Trump, I'm sure they were also excited and pleased with the right kind of respect he gave to them, leader to leader.
Well, I thought that having a leader to leader meeting was very important.
And he acknowledged the cultural differences.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, let's go to Pat in Gallup, New Mexico on line two. You're on the air, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys. Excuse me. My concern is that the Democrats or the media will create yet another false crisis to undermine this just wonderful, successful journey and to bring him back home.
Of course. It's already happening. I mean, believe me, they don't want to stay on this story because this story is too good for the president. So they will, yes, that is going to happen. It will be talks of special counsel impeachment and what does it all mean. That's going to happen. So I just prepare yourself for that. We're just giving you the news and the analysis like it is. But the media is going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Keep going, calls. All right.
That was a very short comment on your part.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
A lot of people are calling.
Okay.
We got to make sure we take them.
All right.
All right.
Yep.
Sue, Portland, Oregon. You're going to hold for about 15 minutes. Thanks, Sue.
Hey, Sue.
Hi there. I have just a couple comments about Melania and what she was wearing. I heard on Fox today that the outfit she wore in Saudi Arabia was very modest. And it was a compliment to
it was respectful the to their tradition without being subservient to it.
Right.
And you said you lived there, so
I did, and I was stationed there with female soldiers. And as long as they were modest, they were not expected to adopt their dress and their customs. You can be respectful of a foreign dignitary or a foreign head of state without being deferential and subservient to them.
I mean, Harry, you don't have to put it in there. We don't have to show that we're Americans and we got to wear an America USA T-shirt.
Absolutely.
But he's the president of the United States.
Absolutely.
And they need our help.
And the United States should never bow to another foreign power. On the other hand, we should always be respectful to other traditions.
And I think that balance was, I think they got that balance here, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, I just remember in these parts of the world, you don't flaunt. I mean, the U.S., we're used to kind of just open. I mean, shoulders are a big deal, you know. But if you take on the responsibility of just, again, respect without totally compromising who you are as a people, that's actually, you get further. You know, I don't think anybody, no one wants to see Donald Trump wearing a top. And like, you know, it's not, that is not what they're expecting. They're expecting the U.S. president to be in a suit and tie. Some of their leaders wear suit and ties. Others don't. I mean, depending on the situation. The King of Jordan, you'll see in both outfits, he actually chose to wear a suit and tie. Al-Sisi would never wear what some of the Gulf state leaders wear. He's taken off his military uniform now, put on the suit and tie. I mean, it's, yep. Again, what is appropriate.
Imaging is important.
Mm-hmm. Very important, especially
in that
even
part
in
of
Israel.
Yep, listen, absolutely.
At the Western Wall, if you notice, shoulders are covered. The arms are covered. Legs are covered.
Yep.
It is part of the culture, not just in the Arab world, but also in the Jewish world.
Yep.
Right. All right, let's continue on, try to get the last of these calls. Let's go to Laura, Colorado Springs. You're on the air.
Hi, Laura, go ahead.
Hi, from Colorado Springs.
Yep.
First, I've got two comments. We finally have a man in the White House. A patriotic man in President Donald Trump. I think he's on the way to the first steps in starting finally some world peace. And I am so grateful for him. Another comment, I am so excited to see Jay Sekulow on some of the news. For the first time, finally we'll have an intelligent person saying something that we can enjoy.
I appreciate you saying that. But I like my guests and hosts are great. And I'm going to be on with Neil Cavuto today, and I think with Sean later in the day as well.
All right, last call. Let's go to
Logan,
Tracy.
You didn't respond to any of that. She said it was great on air.
Congratulations.
Yeah, there you go.
Fine. Oh, what do you mean to say? Tracy's calling from Austin.
Hey, Tracy, go ahead.
So my question is, for peace between Israel and Palestine, what would it be like if the U.S. Stopped, the U.S. and the U.N. stopped funding
Palestinian Authority. It would be catastrophic for them, and it would start a war.
Yes, they would have no more security forces to protect against groups like Hamas to rat out the terrorist problem they have internally. That would not be good for Israel, especially now. Let me say twofold: one, the UN funding that is not
very
difficult for the U.S. to stop that. Or two, the U.S. funding though is part of the negotiating tool. Increases, decreases. Are part of our negotiating. So you don't want to give that up completely and then send them into chaos. I've been in the West Bank where their military there, their security forces, who are pretty good at protecting you when you're there as well,
absolutely,
are hooded, though, because they're under so much threat from terrorism. Yep.
All right, let me get Harry and Wes, last comment here. Harry first. So far, evaluating the trip, what's your assessment, quick assessment?
It's an absolute success. The days of appeasement of Iran are over. Also, we sent a very strong message to Russia that there's a new sheriff in town and that American interests are going to be put first as opposed to Middle Eastern interests.
Wes?
Yeah, and in the past with the previous administration, they felt really, really snubbed by them. And their national security, the Gulf Cooperation Council, which is sort of like their version of a small NATO, they depend on the United States and our defense of them. And I think this has been a turning point in this whole.
I agree. But many more days to come and many more issues. We'll be back with more tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.